SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, Casey and I laughing about the annoyance of autocorrect. it thinks it's being a convenience. It's not. It's making you work more. Well, we are going to have to work overtime today, tonight, tomorrow, into Saturday. Wow. I don't know where to start. We got recapping, of course, to do a little bit, and then we will start to turn our attention to the weekend, not just the weekend, not just Saturday particularly, but tomorrow. I was really excited about the Stronach Magna 5 until I handicapped. Wow. This first week, maybe they're going for the carryover immediately into next week. And that's how it would work, of course. If nobody hits, they'll carry it the next week. But holy cow. If you haven't looked at tomorrow's sequence yet, you're in for, I don't know, a surprise. Not a surprise. I don't know. You're in for a headache is what you're in for. The Laurel 9th, Santa Anita 4th, Gulfstream 8th, Golden Gate 4th, Gulfstream 9th. The Santa Anita and Gulfstream races, I think you can get a handle on somewhat. I think I more or less got 4, 4, and 3, give or take, for those three races. The sequence starts with a maiden 16 at Laurel going 5 furlongs that is absolutely just formless and just inscrutable. You call it what you want. This is a very goofy way to start this thing, to be honest. And what it's going to force people to do somewhat, you're going to watch the board for this Laurel 9th to get a couple of clues. I don't think anybody can win. You also have got the vagary of two first-time starters. And those first-time starters, they're by the Galileo son, Seville, the Globetrotter that is at Heritage Stallions. And this is his first crop. He doesn't have a winner yet as a stallion. And not that there's that many. There's only been, I think, 20-something starts from his progeny so far. Yeah, 5 horses, 21 starts. And he's only got a couple of board hits thus far. He's by Galileo, and this is a dirt race. Seville himself, from Australia through Europe, amassed a nice record. You got 2 first-timers here by Seville, and if either one were to win, it would be his first winner. Spanish Skies for Tim Keith. And Aces and Faces for Hammy Smith. Hammy's also got a congrats gelding that's dropping from maiden 40s. This is a really curious bunch to start this thing. And even when you go looking for somebody with some speed, it's a little tricky. Jason Smith has got a Bulls Bay gelding that has shown some speed but hasn't been able to sustain it going as short as 4 furlongs at Timonium. So I don't know what to do here. This is a really irksome way to start this sequence. The Santa Anita race, some allowance going a mile on the grass. Got some very clear contenders. The Gulfstream race, the 8th, third leg, first level allowance, 6 furlongs on the main track. There's, you know, four, as many as this, maybe as many as 5 to consider seriously. And the Gulfstream nightcap, I've got a few earmarked. The Golden Gate race, leg 4, a 40 claimer. unbelievable. A full field of 10 that feel almost completely interchangeable. This is a murderous group. This is a race where there does seem to be a speed that may get clear and may be able to control. Bob Hess sending out Impecunious, a Vronsky 3-year-old filly. You may be Impecunious at the end of this after betting this, for those of you that know what Impecunious means. this, go scurry. Scurry for your... Go reach up there for the dictionary. I don't know. This is not going to be easy. I had, you know, mentally set a budget, my usual kind of budget of $72, you know, 48 to 72. I don't know. This is going to be very tricky. The Stronach team has put together, I saw the press note release from Dave Joseph, they put together a video, and they've got a handicapping powwow with all of the analysts and all of the personalities that present the races, Jason and Matt Dinnerman, and I think Michelle Yu is in it, and they've got a team that went through these races. I would reach for all the help you can get. So we'll see. I'll put a play together. I'll do what I can. So that's one of the things I wanted to be sure to highlight for those. A lot of people are excited. I love this. I loved it in its first incantation, and we'll give it a shot. But it certainly is starting with some eye-crossing segments. The weekend racing, drawn yesterday, is going to have some people excited, I imagine, because from New York to Louisville to Arcadia, you're looking at just a nonstop action and important preps toward the Breeders' Cup, and that includes the Jockey Club Gold Cup, the one of the 3 grade ones on Saturday at Belmont, and Diversify draws the 6-hole. He'll face 7 foes. And the interesting part, of course, of Jockey Club Gold Cup, the presence of Mendelssohn and Thunder Snow for pace pressure, and on either side, because Mendelssohn draws the 3, Thunder Snow draws the 8. And so Diversify and Erat Ortiz, my guess is that they'll sit off a little bit and they'll let the 2 of those spar in front of him for a while. 1.25 miles. I don't know. I haven't looked yet, and we'll talk to Dave Grenig tomorrow. We'll see about Rick Violette's initial reaction and thoughts. We'll see how he wants to approach it, but it should be interesting. You've also got Gronkowski coming back in here for Phoenix, and Patch shows up for Calumet. Ron Paolucci and Anthony Quartarolo sending Uno Mas Modelo, who was terrific at Saratoga. Discreet Lover, who dances all the dances for Uriah St. Louis. Manny Franco aboard. So the Jockey Club Gold Cup, the anchor. Earlier on the card, the Vosburgh, which is just a complete layover for Imperial Hint. He'll be 1-9. And no show betting, from what I understand. And I can certainly understand it. I mean, he's got a dozen lengths on this field. The Joe Hirsch is probably the most, not just the Joe Hirsch. In fact, both of the turf races are the most compelling portions of the card. No, that's not true. The Gold Cup's compelling. It's going to be interesting. I mean, diversify, weigh the horse to beat. But there'll be some pacey chess matches will be going on out there. But the two turf races in between the Vaz and the Jockey Club, the Joe Hirsch is really good, really fun. Robert Bruce from the rail out. Robert Bruce, High Happy, Sadler's Joy, Carrick, Teodoro, who shows up. Tom Dascombe sends him in with Ryan Moore. Spring Quality, your Manhattan Stunner with a brilliant Edgar Prado ride. Highland Sky and Channel Maker. Really good group of eight in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. And the Pilgrim, where you've got all the two-year-old boys grappling for a pass to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And it's a nice group that you saw mostly at Saratoga. A nice group of 10. Looking at Churchill, well, you were looking forward to the Lucas Classic and Mind Your Biscuits debuting for a potential Breeders' Cup Classic try. He'll be a strong favorite in here. Toast of New York showed up, who they continue to try to do something with. Honorable Duty draws inside for Dars. Rated R Superstar, etc. George Navarro, Flowers for Lisa will be the pace presence. Term of Art for Calumet and Breaking Lucky. But Mind Your Biscuits, very strong favorite. The Ack-Ack and the Jeff Cup. There's also that Arabian race, too, that $100,000 UAE Cup on this card. I always forget about it. $100,000 for the Arabians. The racing at Santa Anita, Hammer will be with us tomorrow, of course. Tom Quigley today. And you did get the matchup you were anticipating, West Coast and Accelerate, shoulder to shoulder in the 5 and the 6 in the Awesome again. The Lieutenant in there as well. But the prime attraction, West Coast and Accelerate. The Rodeo Drive came up great. That's going to be a lot of fun. And the 2-year-old racing, the American Pharaoh and the Chandelier, 6 in the Philly race, 5 for the boys. We'll talk about all of it and much, much more after a break. We got Andrew Hawkins, Tony Black, Steve Haskin, Tom Quigley, Rich Eng. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Are you on?
You
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sarmon Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When they kick at your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law break in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement or waiting in death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you have to answer to, whoa, the guns of Brixton. The money feels good, your life you like it well, but surely your time will come as in heaven as in hell.
We're back at the races. We'll have Andrew Hawkins in just a little bit and get back to part of the slates for Saturday. I talked to Hammer, actually, right as the card, after the card was drawn at Santa Anita. And certainly the chandelier with the presence of Bella Fina and Derlou and Brill and Mother, plus Delmar May and Vibrance from Richard Baltus and Michael McCarthy. The chandelier, you know, you got everybody you expected and you wanted. The five in the American Pharoah, Roaten, Gunmetal Gray, Jeffy, Game Winner, and Sig Alert. And, you know, you did get a couple of horses sidelined. And so, you know, that contributed, I think, to keeping the field short in the Pharoah. But Roaten and Game Winner as headliners, but certainly nothing wrong with the other Hollandor for Gunmetal Gray for West Point, and then you've got Sadler and Costa Aronis with Sig Alert. So that you know, you got the elite 2-year-olds, but I am surprised with all the nice maiden winners, and I suppose that, you know, they're just acquiescing here to some degree, knowing that the top slots were going to be tough to leapfrog Baffert and Hollendorfer with Roaten. You know, Roaten second to Game Winner in the Del Mar Futurity, and Gunmetal Gray, an impressive second time starter and winner and maiden breaker when stretching out to a mile at Del Mar. So, and Sig Alert won at first asking and never really put in much of a rally, in the futurity. So, but I just guess that, you know, all the maiden winners from the summer, I mean, there's got to be, you would think, another, I don't know. We had this discussion somewhat with yesterday about the MTOs. I'll go over that in a minute. From yesterday in New York. The rest of the card for the first Saturday at Santa Anita, really fun with a lot of maiden races. And you've got the card starts actually with a 6-furlong maiden group of 2-year-olds, including first-time starter Godolphin sending out the Ghost Zapper colt out of Hysterical Lady, one of our favorites from years gone by, and Bob Baffert helming Comical Ghost. It's been working steadily, and we're certainly looking, we'll look forward to Friday night and getting some Andy Harrington, some national turf help. This looks like a group that's got plenty of potential. There is the second timer as well for Hollendorfer and Michael Stinson, who we've talked about, working with Tom McGreevy, Malibu Moon Colt, debuted at Del Mar, and didn't, you know, really never got involved. You've got the $500,000 Cairo Prince making a second start for Paul Redham and Doug O'Neill. Tuck, cute. Cairo Prince out of Garden City. This is a New York bred. There's a few New York breds that landed on the West Coast, expensive ones. Of course, Baffert as well. The other interesting horse, actually, a $600,000 Will Take Charge, Simon Callahan. And, of course, Callahan and Kaleem Shah with Bella Fina later in the day in the Chandelier. But this is a debuting colt who's worked very sharp, who's worked very well. Stretford End, very fun. Stretford End. Boy, Kaleem Shah's got to be, he's got to be a major soccer fan, obviously, between all of his, between Dortmund and Bayern and Stretford End. Huh? Man U fans? The Stretford End? That's the end zone, the end zone section at Man U, at Old Trafford. Yeah, that's great. He's got to be a big, should talk to Kaleem Shah about that. You've got a mile turf maiden group as well. It looks like you've got some nice ones in here, including Mandela for Rick Porter, Omaha Beach. You've also got a Distorted Humor colt for Baffert and Gary and Mary West out of Cambia Corsa. There's another favorite. So that's some of the maiden action that gets the early part of the card Saturday at Santa Anita going. And, of course, they open tomorrow, including the Eddie D coming down the hill. And as Hammer told you last week, not just last week, but when the first news came, there would be plenty of shorter turf sprints as well. Some horses that will probably want to make their way to Churchill for the abbreviated, the much shorter version of the turf sprint. You know, we've been at Santa Anita so often, and of course we so enjoy the downhill course anyway. Hammer changed that. I used to be afraid of it and never understood it, and Hammer got me. He told me how to bet it, and ever since then, I've enjoyed the downhill course. So we'll have somebody from every venue, including Dave Grenig, and we'll have Marty McGee, and Jay Pribman. We'll get Jay back in rotation. First time as a married man. We'll find out how I hadn't thought about this, but until the other day. But when Jay, after Jay and his wife Ann, after they tied the knot, they were going to Charleston, and I think they got there, and I think I'm going to guess the honeymoon was over by the time the hurricane hit the Carolinas. So, you know, I think they might have just gotten out a couple days earlier. So we'll talk to Jay tomorrow and everybody else, Nick and Scully and DeRosa and more. We'll cap these three terrific cards. And I don't want to shortchange the rest of the country, frankly, because if you haven't noticed yet, if you didn't get a chance to dive through, I basically was waiting as each overnight came out. In addition to all of this, Laurel comes back with another big weekend, including a series of $75,000 stakes and the Grade 3, the old DC International, now known as the Baltimore Washington. I guess you could call it the 295. The Baltimore Washington Grade 3, nice field of 10, and make it 9 because there's one MTO. You've also got the Bald Eagle Derby, and this is new, and a 9-horse field, nice 9-horse field, going a mile and a half on the grass for $150. So Laurel's got another nice card, and assuming that the rain is finally out of the picture for a while, the course should be in great shape. There's Owner Appreciation Weekend, closing weekend at Delaware, the Rosenberger and all of those stakes. There is what I call the day at Gulfstream with those stakes that are kind of an agglomeration of stakes that don't fit anywhere else. They're part of the supporting card for the two Florida Sire stakes, the big $400,000 mile and a 16th events, the My Dear Girl, of course, and the In Reality. And those have a dozen Florida-bred two-year-olds, and those came up great. But then there's another, I think, four or five $75,000 stakes. So all over the place on Saturday, beside the three major venues with the Win and Your Ins and so forth and preps. There's also the New York Breeders' Futurity, and I want to thank everybody that people really appreciated Mike Ferraro's visit yesterday and the recognition of Les Hewlett's outstanding career. They're running for $200,000 tomorrow or Saturday at Finger Lakes in the Futurity, New York Breeders' Futurity. So there's just a smattering. And then, of course, on Sunday, they'll draw today for the big Sunday card at Remington, the Oklahoma Derby and the Remington Oaks. So lots to look forward to. Before we take the break and before Andrew Hawkins joins us racing at Happy Valley right now, and we'll look forward to the conversation with Andrew. The carryover yesterday in New York ended up going so chalky that it was ridiculous. And I botched a couple of different things in here. I made one smart decision yesterday, but the way I built the tickets wasn't one of them. Golden Vale came through 3-2 to open the scoring in the pick six. Then you had a favorite. I didn't get the memo about Bon Raison. I'm sorry. I completely whiffed on Bon Raison. First off the claim for Gary Contessa and Empire State Thoroughbreds, took this one for 16, raised this raison d'etat colt up to 35, and it did seem that the inside was really, really glib yesterday, clearly. And Bon Raison went to the front under Rosario, and it was over early. It was obvious the way he was moving. My pick six ticket was in trouble right then, and that was that. The Red Dude off the claim. This one a little bit easier to get behind. And first off the claim for Jason Service and Mike Dubb, as sharp as they are. Another one that was in command and wins as the favorite. So first half, 3-2 favorites basically one after the other. Then came the first horse that was a little bit, you know, a little trickier. Well, I thought Balmaison was tricky, but Take It to Scale at 5-2, ridden confidently by Jose Ortiz, and you could see that everybody that was chasing Colton Mississippi, who went off at an even money, and you could see that everybody was asking to keep up with Take It to Scale, and Jose Ortiz was very comfortable, and that was pretty apparent. And sure enough, Take It to Scale then started to draw off comfortably and win another first off the claim, this time Mike Maker for the Wyckoffs, Three Diamonds, and he was taken himself by Tony Dutchrow. There were a number, I think, three of the top four were claimed out of here for 32, because Felix and Fabula, Patty Reynolds and Bob Amendola, and Colton Mississippi, Contessa and Empire State, who of course had won the previous race, or actually had won the race two back. There were a slew of claims yesterday. I think you had 1, 2, 3, 4 taken out of the sixth as well. So you've had nobody over 5-2 so far in the pick six, and then came what looked like a single, the allowance race that we were in with Carlisle Bell, and it seemed like Bruce Brown's horse was just laid over the field, and she did, and she won easily. Jose Ortiz, a little under 3-2. For some reason, and I guess it was because the inside, the inside path looked so favorable, Shanghai Dreams went off at under even money. And to me, that seemed a little crazy. I mean, certainly it was going to, you know, be the kind of the other horse to consider with She's Delightful, but not even money, not under even money. And she folded her tent pretty quickly, frankly. And Forever Daisy started to, you know, basically took over pretty quickly from Shanghai Dreams. We were with Carlisle Bell, kind of, you know, she's not fast out of the gate, but she did break cleanly and establish some position, and Rajiv had to ride her to keep up, and then she, you know, moved toward the leaders off the turn, thought for a second she could maybe get second, but settled for third, and, you know, got exactly what you would have hoped out of this. When you make that, as Andy and I talked about on Tuesday, when you make the move to be an MTO and, you know, with the hope that, you know, most of the turf horses will come out, that's exactly what happened. So it worked out okay. Worked out fine. And she gets a placement in the New York Bred Allowance Company. And then finally, in the nightcap, it's interesting that board, the 3-2 favorite, ended up winning here. I needed Metaphorical to kind of get out for the day. It would have been a 300 and I think 3 something in the pick 5 would have paid for the day, but Metaphorical couldn't withstand the late run from Arad Ortiz and gravitating Rudy Rod and Michael Imperio under Arad Ortiz. So another 3-2 winner. So the pick 6 paid $741. So a lot of money got redistributed, and that's always good. So it was fun. It was a fun afternoon, and to be in the eighth yesterday and kind of sit and play and you know, look forward to the run. So thanks to Rajiv for a nice ride, and then we'll now look for a get her back to a mile. She needs a mile. That's her preferred distance, but nothing wrong with the way things worked out yesterday. We'll see how things are working out at Happy Valley and into Shatin. Andrew Hawkins joins us from the Hong Kong Jockey Club. After this, Tony Black, top of the hour. We'll recap some of the conversation that we were hinting at with Tony, specifically one more visit to the steward stand in Philadelphia, why they don't seem to want to put on the inquiry light. Tony addressed this a while back, but we'll talk about it and what they've been talking about at Philly Park since. But Tony, and I want to ask Tony about Les Hewlett, if he rode against less in a couple of spots, maybe. A contemporary, I mean, 69 certainly, you know, overlapped the careers. Of course, Hewlett's ended in the late 90s, and Tony's continued on for another 15 years. We'll take a break. Andrew Hawkins joins us from Hong Kong after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Guess there's no use in hanging around. Guess I'll get dressed through the town. I'll find a crowded avenue. Though it will be empty without you.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 to the top of the hour, and we'll head to the other side of the globe. And Andrew Hawkins joins us from the Hong Kong Jockey Club. Andrew, good evening.
Good evening. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. And I was up in the middle of the night, and I should have retweeted your. You were getting ready for the day, and I'm. Happened to see it. I should have retweeted what you sent out about Pakistan Star and Company.
Yeah, correct. Pakistan Star and Time Warp, two of our leading stars in Hong Kong, set to step out tomorrow morning in a barrier trial, which in Hong Kong is the final step before they get back to the races. Both of them look set to resume. I think it's on the 21st of October they'll be back in action in a a G2 at Chartier over a mile. But exciting to see them back. It's exciting to see these horses back on track, even if it's not under race conditions. Still exciting to see horses of that ilk step out. And look, I'm very excited to be there tomorrow morning.
Well, and lay out what these explain the barrier trial concept.
Yeah, so the barrier trial concept is very much an Australian concept originally, very much a mass gallop or a mass timed work. It's similar to a race in that they jump from the gates, they travel over a set distance, usually 5 furlongs, 6 furlongs, and they're just allowed to do whatever they want. It's not like a race where there's obviously penalties for not trying, or there's penalties for interference caused and the like. It's very much just a mass gallop, and it depends on each individual trainer, each individual jockey, how much they're willing to put their mouth under pressure. Often you'll see horses just loping along, not asked to do much, especially if they come from a stable like the John Sy stable in Hong Kong. They'll just be out the back, allowed to make ground under their own steam. Some horses are given a more testing workout, but it comes very much from Australia and New Zealand. They're very heavy on the barrier trial concept. It's been used by Hong Kong and Singapore, most notably, but there are other jurisdictions starting to use them. South Africa has introduced them recently. Dubai has introduced them recently. There's now barrier trials leading into the season at Maidan. And also England and Ireland have started using them mainly as a sales pitch to Asian buyers in Hong Kong and Singapore. It gives them a chance to see them under similar conditions to a race without actually putting them in a race and potentially losing their value by a loss or whatever. They can see their ability in that way.
Well, and with those names involved, obviously there's interest from that standpoint. How about the straightforward racing? And as you discussed last week, of course, a little bit of a calendar shift here in terms of the locale.
Yeah, very much so. Look, we're going to a point now where, for Hong Kong especially, we're starting to get we're a month into our meeting, our season. And this is where the group races, the greater stakes, start to come into effect. So for Hong Kong, the stakes season, look, there aren't many stakes races in general, but the stakes season goes from the start of October through until the end of May. They're well spaced out in that period, but these are the first two greater stakes races of the season coming up on Monday, Hong Kong time, which is what, Sunday night your time. And we're starting to see some of Hong Kong's better horses coming out, stepping out again. And as I said last week, it's really this time of year where it shifts, where you get Europe coming to an end. There's sort of a culmination in terms of the United States with the Breeders' Cup down in Australia with the spring. But this is sort of the start of our season, and this is where we start to build up our group races into our features, which come up in December, January, February.
Well, and before we look ahead to Sunday night / Monday from the Happy Valley action, just from last night.
Yeah, so last night at Happy Valley, we had an interesting card, as always, at the city track. It was great to see Casper Found, who's a name very much synonymous with Hong Kong racing. If you've ever followed Hong Kong racing, if you've ever seen Hong Kong races abroad, Hong Kong horses travel abroad, you've seen Casper Found. He trained a very good sprinter called Lucky Nine, who went to Dubai a number of times, went to Australia, went to Japan. But he trained his 800th winner in Hong Kong, which is a very rare feat. Only the fourth of the current trainers built, and only the fifth trainer ever to reach 800 winners in Hong Kong. So pretty good effort from him. He has been one of the big four trainers in Hong Kong for a while, alongside John Size, John Moore, Tony Cruz. So for him to bring it up at Happy Valley, it was a nothing race, but he said it meant a lot to him. And then we also saw John Size, who's our reigning champion trainer, actually score his first win for the season. He's had a very quiet start, which is normal for him. He normally doesn't have a very strong start to the season, but he scored a double at Happy Valley. including a very nice horse called Country Star, who is only a three-year-old, Southern Hemisphere three-year-old, but only just turned three, a month and a half ago. And he looks a horse potentially heading higher. It was a very nice effort from him. He won by 3.5 lengths very easily. And it's a name that you might want to put down for later in the season, Country Star.
Country Star, and saw that Zach Purton had a big night. My push on trainers, K.H. Ting, with another win, too, in that Island Handicap.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been labeled as something of a lucky trainer because so many trainers have the start that he's had. I think we've had 6 or 7 meetings now in Hong Kong, and he's had a winner at 5 or 6 of them. So he's there's only been one meeting so far where he hasn't had a winner. And for him, that's a dream start, especially in a society, as I've talked to you about before, Steve, how they have these... Hong Kong owners are very fickle and very much guided by superstition and luck. And to have a winner at all these meetings and to have the strike rate that he does very early, he's going to get more horses because of it. And as in anywhere in the world of racing, but particularly in your Asian countries like Hong Kong and Japan, success begets success. So I think you'll be seeing more of him this season. It's been a big effort from him, so it was good to see him win with amazing goals. And as you said, Zach Purton definitely having a very good night as well, and he's looking every bit the champion jockey that he was from last season.
Well, you talked about the holiday upcoming and Sunday night and Monday and the Celebration Cup, one of the features. Let's look ahead for the action, a little different again, as we mentioned, basically October 1st as opposed to Sunday. And this 10-race card looks like it's got plenty of opportunities.
Very much so, very much so. Looking at the two features that come up, as you say, we got two Group 3, Grade 3 races in terms of the National Day Cup, which is 1,000 metres, and the Celebration Cup, which is 1,400 metres. So 5 furlongs and 7 furlongs, respectively. And for both races, they're seen as the starting point heading towards the internationals in December. Most of the horses you see line up in the two races will end up racing at the international races in December. So if you've never watched Hong Kong before, if you're very new to the product, it's definitely worth following from Monday, Sunday night races, because these are the starting points for many good horses. As I said to you last week, you only need to look at these races and you get an understanding for where Hong Kong racing is at in terms of handicap. These races are handicaps, so you're racing across a 20-pound spread in both races. So for example, a horse like in the National Day Cup, iVictory, who last time out won the G1 Chairman Spring Prize at his last start in April, he gets in with top weight, but he's up against a horse, his stablemate Hot King Prawn, who I know has quite a few American fans. He's a horse who's still on the up, and he's a horse that gets in very light on the weights. I think he's only carrying 117 pounds compared to iVictory's 133. So while you'd say iVictory's the better chance in December, coming into these races on Sunday night, Hot King Prawn's going to have every chance to beat him under the weight scale. And that's what makes these early season group races so interesting from a betting perspective, because you have some very classy horses, but they're all you get some horses that are naturally better weighted than others, and that's where the opportunities lie.
Well, the two features, National Day Cup and the Celebration. What's the timing on these? I still struggle with this. What time are these going Eastern?
Yeah, so National Day Cup is 4:05 p.m. Hong Kong time. So you're looking at 4:05 a.m. Eastern. And then you've got the Celebration Cup, which comes up a race later. I think it's 4:40 p.m. Hong Kong time. So yeah, 4:40 a.m. Eastern.
There we go.
Look, again, that's going to change again. That's going to change again shortly with daylight savings. But currently, it's basically a 12-hour switch.
Excellent. And so for this particular card, the racing a little bit, at least in the late races, a little bit easier to in terms of accessibility for East Coast, and the early races for the West Coast. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, but when I moved to Montreal, my first exposure to Hong Kong came when I started living in Montreal, and I would go to the hippo clubs, and as the North American audience would be leaving, Andrew, it was always if there was a night card, if there was something, you know, particularly when it came to Hollywood, when they would run, you know, into the evening, literally, as we would be leaving at 10:30, 11 o'clock, here came this influx of Asians. And I didn't, you know, until I asked about it, I said, what are these people? I had no idea, really. This is back, you know, this is in the 90s, the early 90s, basically. And they would basically take over, and they would be there all night. And the Hippodrome, they really couldn't close until, like, you know, 6 a.m., and they would quickly close. They'd have a few hours to clean up and reorganize, and then reopen, like, at 10 o'clock in the morning. But that was my first awareness that there was racing going on across the globe.
I can only imagine that influx of people, they would have been there, as you say, they would have been there all night. They wouldn't have missed the race. They would have been very, very eager to make sure they got every opportunity. And as you say, it's been amazing to see in that 20 years since how the racing world has become more global, and how everywhere is so much more intertwined than it once was. But yes, it's definitely interesting. I can imagine. I'm sure those guys at the Hippo Club are still probably playing Hong Kong to this day.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's. I don't know if they still have. You know, there was some real issues in Quebec when it came to to the whole infrastructure of the HIPAA clubs, but that I had not experienced that. And I remember staying more than once. I remember I can remember going back past Place Bonaventure, and you could see up into the HIPAA club, and I do remember a late night or two, kind of swinging through there and watching, you know, the action, and it really tipped me off to what was going on. That, you know, that there was a whole nother, you know, the whole nother world, the Australasia, and that was really my first exposure. On this topic too, for you, talk about what you're up to, because you're winding down your stay at the Hong Kong Jockey Club.
Yeah, that's correct, Steve. I leave Hong Kong in a week and a half, or less than a week and a half, actually. Saturday week, I'm out of Hong Kong. I've been here in Hong Kong 5 years. It's been a wonderful 5 years. But an opportunity has come up back home in Australia for me to be able to go back and work with the leading broadcaster down there, Sky Racing, covering international racing, which, as I'm sure you've been able to tell from the times we've talked, it's definitely my passion. So to be able to go back to Australia is fantastic. I'm going to be based in Sydney. But, look, I'm very fortunate to have had this time in Hong Kong, and I hope that I can return to work here one day, because I do love Hong Kong. It's a fantastic city. It's a fantastic environment. It's a racing utopia in many ways. But for me, to be able to go back home, Sydney's my hometown, so to be able to go back there, it's going to be very exciting. But before that, I get to go to the United States for a couple of weeks. I'm going to be doing a bit of gallivanting around. I'll hopefully get up to, I'll be at Belmont at this stage. I'm going to get to the Canadian International. I'll go up to Woodbine for the first time. I'm going to go to Kentucky. I've never been to Kentucky before. Get to Kentucky for the first time and see a lot of friends that I have in Lexington. And look, I can't wait to get stateside. So if any of your listeners are around and see a chubby little Australian young bloke walking around, feel free to say hello.
well, we'll get a chance to talk at least one more time, right, next week?
Absolutely, will. I'll be looking forward to it greatly. And as you say, we'll definitely have some things to discuss after the trial tomorrow morning, and after the races next week, where we have a better idea of how these horses are going heading towards December.
And also, before we go too, Andrew, when is the first dirt? The all dirt card at of the season, that's got to be coming up fairly soon. No,
yeah, it's not too far away. It's let me pull up the program. I've got the program here, but we've had a few dirt races already, but obviously only one or two per card, because look, it's mainly been turf action to start with. Look, we're coming up on an all dirt card on the 31st of October, so Halloween. So we got a scary proposition with dirt racing all night long at Shaft Inn. It's going to be an interesting card, that card. That's been a card in the past that has thrown up horses like Classic Emperor, who obviously ended up going to Dubai. So I think it's an interesting card to watch. There's a class two over a mile, which might end up throwing up a horse or two that could end up in Dubai over the winter, so it's worth keeping an eye out for that.
Excellent. We are going to have a visit with Paul Matisse, who, of course, was the one who, you know, really kind of got us focus and watching for those dirt cards and how it's one of the unique opportunities, the handful of times that they run on the dirt at Hong Kong, that the betting, and of course we don't have Marrero to deal with anymore. There was that period where all the betting would be out of kilter, basically, Andrew, because everybody kept betting Marrero, even though he wasn't as effective on the dirt as he was on the grass.
Absolutely, and actually, it's funny you say that. I was in Singapore the other night. Singapore, about a 3-hour flight from Hong Kong, and they had a jockey championship in Singapore on Tuesday night, and it was funny you say that, because I was watching Marrero ride on the Singapore Poly track, which he did that night, and he wasn't as effective there either. He just doesn't have the same sort of style, he doesn't have the way of building up momentum on a horse, which seems to be so crucial on both those surfaces. So it was interesting to watch that with that in mind, but you're right, the betting was out of kilter. It provided plenty of opportunities. I think there are still opportunities to be had, though, because the pace of these races at the moment is very suspect in terms of, there are horses you're expecting to go to the lead that don't. You're expecting certain jockeys to make certain moves that aren't. So I think it'd be interesting to hear what Paul has to say, but I think there are still definitely betting opportunities in these dirt races.
That's the case, and might be a great entree for people that want to dive in to Hong Kong. Well, Andrew, we will talk next week, and then looking forward to seeing you stateside, which will be very cool, and we'll of course continue our Hong Kong Jockey Club conversations as well. Andrew, talk next week.
Cheers, Steve. Chat next week.
Andrew NJ Hawkins on your Twitter machine, and keep following him even beyond, and we talked to him even before the Hong Kong Association, but he's got a great handle on the international scene. We'll take a timeout here, top of the hour. Tony Black joining us next. He's out and about. He just sent me a text. Got to call him on the cell case. Tony, after this, Steve Askin later, Tom Quigley, Rich Eng, and more at the races.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest.
We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.